Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunleary.net.
It's a Paddy Power Premier League special on this evening's show, and we're continuing this hour with former Ireland international David Myler. David has been catching up with his ex-Sunderland teammate Wes Brown for a look back on his career, and they started by talking about his fond memories of his time on Wearside.
Yeah, I had a brilliant time, mate. Obviously, it was different to what I was used to, but the lads were brilliant, and it was, you know, also when I look back now, it was good. Sort of being on the other end of it as well, because it was tough. You know, we had some tough years there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I actually remember the day you came for your medical. I was back, you know, coming back from one of my cruciate injuries. And yeah, you walked into the physio room and there you were. And I was there thinking, it's weird because I had seen you, you know, on television and with Manchester United, which we'll get into in a bit. But, yeah, you know, there you were in the flesh and you were just like, how you mate? You all right? How's it going? I'm Wes and all that. And you have this like idea in your mind of, you know, these Manchester United players and these, you know, England internationals. But then you were just so nice and so humble. You know, it was incredible.
Yeah, just a good upbringing, mate.
Yeah.
No, I think you have to be like that. I think in football it helps a lot as well. You know, that would have been my first day, I think, if I'm right. And you know, just getting to know everyone and being nice, and you know, that's probably just my character, mate, if I'm being quite honest. I was like that at United, and I was, you know, not going to change for Sunderland.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you have an Irish legend that you played with for many years who comes with you to Sunderland, of course, is John O'Shea. Did you like get into a conversation before, kind of going, look, Brucey wants me to come to Sunderland, and you're like, oh, he wants me to come too, and it was a little, will we go together?
100%, Myler, 100%. But the funny thing is, when I got there, when I seen you that day, he was supposed to be there. So yeah. I was snapping in my head a bit, thinking, is he taking the mick? Like, but he then signed the next day, if you remember rightly. Yeah. And he said another offer came in. I won't say for which club, but another. So he nearly went to this other club and he was going to leave me hanging. But yeah. Oh, wow.
So obviously, he didn't even text you, call you to say, Wes, I'm 50-50
now. Yeah, we're sort of best mates as well. But at the same time, stuff happens. I was already in Sunderland. I was definitely going. I would have went regardless. And with Shazy, would have had, you know, I'm not sure where the club was, but it could have been a really good club, you know, and he had to check it out, which is fine. But I got my way, don't worry. And he ended up signing.
I love the way you say, you know, I won't name the team, but like we're going back to like 2011. It's like 9 years ago. John is obviously now retired. He's a coach at Reading. It's not going to make much of a difference. Like
it's not, but it's his story to tell, and it's not mine.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ring him after to try and get, you know, there who it was. But Wes, you spent 5 years at Sunderland. You had five different managers. How did you find that? Which, you know, obviously Steve Bruce is the one who signed you. You know, you get in the door, you're there for a couple, or he's there for a couple more months and then he's gone. Martin O'Neill comes in. How did you find the transition through managers after being, you know, at Manchester United with such an iconic manager for so long?
Yeah, it's hard because, like you said, I had one manager for many, many years. I knew Steve Bruce from when he was at the club. So obviously I signed for him. And like you said, after a few months, you know, he leaves and Martin O'Neill comes. You know, all managers, as you'll know, Myler, is they've all got different personalities. That's the first thing. You know, you've got managers who are very talkative. You can go and see them, you know, if there's any trouble, good or bad. And then there's other managers that are pretty quiet. You know, they just want you to get stuck into your football. They don't really want you going to see them or stuff. So yeah, it was hard in the sense that we kept changing managers, plus we weren't getting the results we wanted. You know, especially when I thought when I signed, our team was pretty good. You know, we had a decent team. I mean, we thought we were going to finish a bit higher. I think we finished 14th, maybe the first season, maybe a bit higher. And then, you know, it just didn't quite happen. And I don't think it helps changing managers all the time. But at the same time, we weren't getting the results. So you couldn't really, you know, argue with it.
I know, you talk about the different personalities of managers. Like, obviously, I've played under Steve Bruce and Martin O'Neill for so long. But then you have, you know, Paolo Di Canio, who seems to be this eccentric manager who's very, like, disciplinary, like, in his ways. You hear different stories of no ketchup, no this, no that.
Yeah.
How does a group of players go through that? And then to think, like, how is he going to implement his styles when he's trying to cut down on so many different things that all you want to do basically is go out and perform and do well?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the training was really good. You know, the training was good. It was intense. Now, the other stuff, yeah, that did happen as well. And I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. Listen, if the manager wants something to happen, you know, I think slowly it should be guided in. But I think it was just pretty much straight, you know, you're not now having this, you're not now having that, you're having that for a set meal, nothing else. And I think it was probably done not in the right way. You know, it wasn't really explained. It was just, you know, even at lunch, if the dinner would just come out, or the lunch could just come out and you were eating that and that was it. It probably wasn't explained to us exactly what was going on. And I think if he would have done that, we would have understood it a little bit more. But yeah, it was changing a lot of things, completely changing a diet. And like I said, if he would have knew what he was trying to achieve, it would have helped a lot and it would have gone a long way. But you know, he was a bit mad. He was crazy. You know, he was passionate. And he wanted to win. But at the same time, you know, these little things that were happening around just wasn't quite working, you know, it wasn't explained in the right way, so we understood it.
Yeah, well, there's no doubting he's very passionate. If as many Sunderland fans will watch this will remember, like when, you know, you beat Newcastle at St. James's Park, I remember I was in the crowd watching as a fan and he ran down the touchline, there's the big celebration. He was a passionate guy. But then, you know, you've got Poye, Advocate, like five managers, it's just, they're all so different, but I suppose that's the thing, when Sunderland weren't going through a good time, they just kept chopping and changing.
Yeah, the last few were brilliant. Poye was brilliant. I mean, the way he wanted to play was a little bit how Man City play. Now, the problem is we're not Man City. You know, it's raining. You know, you can get away with it. You can pull it off. But yeah, I mean, his way of playing was nice, really. It was nice to watch. And if you got out, it was perfect. But I think in the games, because we were under so much pressure, that pressure got to us. And then when you are trying to play out from the back, if one mistake's happened, as you know, listen, if they score, your head's gone. It's going to be very hard now to get out of trouble. So, again, that didn't work. I mean, Charlie Otway was there as well. He was fantastic with us in training. But we probably didn't have the personnel to sort of get that done, you know. And we've already changed the manager three or four times already. So it was all, if it wasn't going to work, you knew that it was probably going to happen again. And then Dick comes in. He was brilliant. You know, he's managed some great teams over the years. And he, you know, he sort of got us on a solid ground. And, you know, we got some wins. We got some good players in. You know, but we always struggle to score, as you know, Milo. We always struggle. You need a striker in the Premier League who's going to put the ball in the back of the net, and we always struggled in that way.
Yeah. So, Wes, 362 appearances, 5 goals, only 5, mind, but at the same time, 5 Premier League titles. So, when you were 12 years old, you signed for Manchester United.
Yeah.
Like, what were your expectations? You're signing for one of the biggest clubs in the world. You're thinking,
I was 12. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I was 12, mate, I only just started playing for a Sunday league team. I didn't even play. Obviously, I played on the street, but you know, I didn't play any organised football at all. So that's all I wanted to do. You know, yeah. I was pretty good at most sports, like I suppose sporty people are. But football was always in the back of my mind. That's when I wanted wanted to do. And, you know, I know nowadays probably getting on a team at sort of 10, 11 is pretty late, but that's what I did. And, you know, things moved pretty quickly from there.
Yeah, well, like, I need to, like, whenever a young boy comes through at Manchester United, I imagine the conversations even to this day, they've got to highlight the class of 92. You know, they was just so iconic. But were they a huge inspiration for you of lads who'd come through from a young age? They've got the Nevilles, Beckham, Giggs had obviously come a little bit before them, but Button, Scholes. Like, you must be looking at them, watching them train daily, aspiring to be like them, to get into the first team.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they started to play when I was still at school. I mean, I was watching them on the telly when, you know, 14, 15, 16. And, you know, when you are that age, you don't think it's going to happen to you. You know, you're wishing it is. But you don't think it's going to happen to you. But, you know, hard work, I always tell people hard work, commitment, you've got to sacrifice. Is people don't really put that in the window, but you have to sacrifice quite a lot. But like I said, I train harder. Obviously, I knew I was good at football, but being a good footballer doesn't necessarily, you know, get you there. You have to work and do things to the extreme. And that's what I just said I'd try my best. You know, if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. But, you know, luckily I was working hard and I got a chance. But watching them boys, I just knew that, you know, if I can impress the manager and the coaching staff, that I might get a chance, because, you know, Man United at the time was a club where they did bring youngsters in. You know, even if it's, I could have played my debut and had a beast. I always tell people this. Might have had a beast, probably not had a, would have had another chance for a good few months, but luckily I played well. And then the gaffer kept giving me more and more chances. But, you know, I do feel like at Manchester United, if they can see talent and they think you've worked hard and you're good enough, they will give you an opportunity.
Now, you've obviously touched on the gaffer, who, of course, was Sir Alex Ferguson. How big was he for you? And obviously, look, he's an iconic manager. He's arguably one of the best of all time. There's no doubting that. But how big was he for you?
He was brilliant. I mean, you know, especially coming from where I come from, I didn't really understand the world properly. He helped me there quite a lot. You know, he told me what he wanted me to do. He told me what he needed from me. You know, my mum and dad brought me up really well. So he had no problems on the politeness side and stuff like that. But he always gave me encouragement, and, you know, he made it very simple. I think that's one of his, what he was genius at. You know, he could spot your talent and make you do it, but very simply explain it to you what he wants. And, you know, it's not complicated. For instance, where's Mark him today? That's all I want you to do. Don't give him a touch. That is all I would need. He didn't tell me how to do it. You know, and I think he had that certain way with players, and everyone's different. So he'd probably approach it. Shazy, he might approach it in a different way, you know, but he worked out everybody's personalities very, very early doors. And, you know, mentally that helps everyone.
Now, there must have been at some stage a few telling offs, a few hairdryer moments, as they call them. Did you have
I had loads, mate.
Yeah. And what, any that, you know, obviously stand out in your mind, that you think, like, you're on the pitch, a ball comes back, you know, you're trying to play out, or you get a little bit excited and you go on a little dribble and you lose the ball and you can see the goal. Were you thinking in the back of your mind, oh no, when I get into the change room, he's coming straight for me?
Yeah, do you know what's funny? Do you know the ones I always thought I'm getting it at half time? I probably didn't get.
Yeah.
This is on his chief. And then there was a couple of times. I remember one time at Leeds, he absolutely come for me. I full force. I actually thought I played okay. It was at the road as well. I actually thought I played away. I thought I'd come in. It was 0-0. And I was just thinking, right, okay, we've kept a clean sheet. And he just said, where's da, blah, blah, sloppy, da, da, da. But I always remember going out and playing a lot better the second half. But what was funny about it is I remember my friend Mark Wilson, he was a year older than me, a midfielder. He came up to me after the game and said, do you remember when the gaffer was shouting at you? He walked around the corner in the dressing room and said, oh, you play better now, and started laughing. So the gaffer was clever. He was very clever. You know, I was one of them probably characters that if he shouted at me, I would play better. I would make myself play better. And you will probably know people that who get shouted at or are telling off and they can go under. Do you know what I mean? And they don't really perform. But yeah, he did it to me quite a lot.
Well, that just shows the testament to his man managing skills, where, you know, he knows that he can come at you in one way. I imagine there's certain types then that were in that changing room, like, that he has to lay off. But
yeah,
obviously for this, I've been doing a bit of reading and researching on you, Wes, and he actually came out with a statement that you were the most natural defender Manchester United had produced for years. Like, that is, yeah, that is, if you think about the players going back, we touched on Steve Bruce, back to the early 90s, when you had like Dennis Irwin, Paul Parker, Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce, all the way through. Like, that's a huge statement, and, you know, for someone.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, sometimes, you know, it gets told me a lot, that one. But, you know, they asked me, what does he, you know, I mean, it's brilliant that the manager said that. I honestly think that when he said it, you know, like I said before, I was a player that the manager could just ask me to do something. Now, he wouldn't ask me how to defend, or I want you to do this and do that. He would just let me get on with it and do it. And I think that's what he means by the natural. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Especially when I was younger, you know, he never taught me how to defend. He just used to let me go out and do it. And I think that's what he means when he says that.
Okay.
It
makes complete sense. But either way, if it is your way or the way that I've taken it, it's still a huge compliment from someone who's...
Yeah. Of course it is. But, you know, every game I played for Man United, I always tried my best. And I think that's part of it as well. But yeah, it's a nice thing to say about someone.
Now, you're obviously playing in this Manchester United team. I can't not bring him up because he was my favourite footballer when I grew up. And obviously, I know a little tale, but Roy Keane, how big was he, you know, as captain of Manchester United for you as a player, a teammate, you know, someone who sorts out your contracts, which we can get into?
Yeah.
You know,
he's the man, mate. He was a man. He was a born winner, I would say. You know, obviously, I've got there. He's already been there for many, many years. He's now the captain. You know, when he's got expectations and he wants the best out of everyone. And, you know, at the time, Man United were, you know, winning quite a lot. And, you know, he's now got the armband. He has to keep that going. And it doesn't matter whether you was, you know, you just got bought to the club or you was a young lad. The expectation is, first of all, you've got to work hard and do the basics in a football game. And, you know, that's what Roy Keane does. You know, yes, we know these other attributes you've got. But, you know, he focuses on the basics as well. So, listen, I understand it completely. If I'm not running and he thinks I can run harder, he will tell me, you know. Yeah. But these games when, you know, people always take the bad, not the bad things, but the snaps that Roy Keane does. But, you know, so many times he would compliment you at halftime walking off, you know, keep on going, brilliant son. Little things like this that obviously people don't talk as much about. But he was fantastic and, you know, he was a role model. You know, that's how, you know, he probably would have took that, especially looking at Brian Robson when he was coming through. You know, this never say die attitude. And he expected it from everyone. And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
No, I fully agree with you. But obviously, there's a famous story that, you know, obviously your contract was up for negotiation. And I believe Roy Keane, and was it Gary Neville, have gone in for contract talks on behalf of Wes Brown.
That's true, yeah. Did you know what? This was early on in my career, though, this was probably my second contract. Obviously, I signed when I was 17, and it was the one after that, so it was like 20. Probably just after the treble season. And I remember just going up, and I said, listen, I'm going to have a word with Gaz. I had a word with Gaz, and he said, listen, you know, I want Keno to look at it. And yeah, Keno was brilliant, and, you know, for that one, sorted everything out. Fantastic. I, listen, don't get me wrong. I didn't go up to him every day to keep saying, Keno, what's happening?
It wasn't as if training had finished, like, and you're walking in going, Roy, have you, you know, been up to see the manager there about my contract or whatever? But yeah, that just shows you the type of, you know, the type of person he is, that a lot of people are quick to, you know, pull on the negativity stuff or whatever, or the negative stuff, should I say. But, you know, for him to, you know, put his arm around you and say, look, I'll help you out. Because obviously he thought highly of you at that stage. to then go in on behalf of you to represent you, to get you the best deal that you could get.
Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. And obviously, I didn't know how he would take it, you know, but when I look back now, you know, I'm only just asking for his help, and he was brilliant with it, along with Gaz. But yeah, he said, yeah, don't worry, we'll have a look at it and get it sorted for you, because, you know, it needs to be right. And that's the other side of Keno that people don't see. You know, I probably wouldn't have gone up to Keno at the beginning. I went up to Gaz because he's just not sure. But he was absolutely fantastic.
No, you're right. So we need to get into this, Wes. Five yeah. Premier League titles.
Should be eight. Champions.
Should be eight.
Not played enough games. I played 9 one season and needed one more.
Oh, wow. Should be 8, though. So, obviously, you just highlighted you didn't play enough games in one season. What are the other two?
Oh, the same. I think I played 4, which I'm not that one, but there was one where I played 8 or 9 games. I scored one as well. But the rules change, by the way, Milo. How many do you have to play?
No, technically the rule is 5 games. Yeah, I think when you would have started out...
Another 2, mate, if that's the case. But yeah, officially it's 5, mate. Officially.
Yeah. Well, if you go back to when you started out, I believe, somebody would obviously correct me, but I believe it was 13 games and then it got changed to 10 and now it's at 5.
Yeah.
So you say there, there's 2 seasons that you don't have enough games. What's the third one?
Same thing. No, same thing, mate. Just not enough. I played in the season, but just not played enough.
Okay.
Listen, 5's good enough. I'd take 5, mate.
Five is incredible. Do you know?
Yeah, I was there for the ones. Don't worry. Just, you know, I just didn't play enough, and that was the rules at the time. So, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, well, if you look at, you know, Liverpool and Man City, which, you know, we'll talk about in a little bit, but, like, Liverpool have waited 30 years for the Premier League title. Like, Man City have won a couple over the last few years, but, like, you've got 5, and, of course, you've 2 Champions Leagues. You know, you're one of 3 players to play in both, like.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, listen, my first full season was a treble. Now, that's the standard in my head that I'm thinking has to keep going every year, year in, year out. And, you know, that it was such a high standard that, you know, even when we used to finish 2nd, Milo, we were devastated. You know, if we got beat in a cup final, we'd be devastated. If we lost one league game, if we were doing really well, and we were still, like, sort of, you know, in first, pretty much fine. You know, we're devastating. It's just the high standards that the manager wanted and the players wanted as well.
Oh, well, look, Manchester United is renowned for winning the Premier League title. Anywhere second down is unacceptable, you know. Like you said, you should have had 8 Premier League titles. Like, Giggsy, of course, is 13.
Yeah.
Do you think over the time the club, you know, well, it hasn't. Would you say it's been a bit of a failure in the Champions League?
Not really. I mean, we've got... Listen, when you get to finals, which we did do quite often when I was still there, you know, we got to 3 other finals. Obviously, the one in Moscow, one in Rome, and one at Wembley.
Yeah.
Now, when we get in the final there, it's hard. I mean, you beat Barcelona in 08 semi-final.
Yeah.
You know, but you can see that they've already got this unbelievable team. You know, they couple of years after the add-ons that they bring, and then, you know, like we said, we get them in the final both years, and we just didn't have enough. You know, it's horrible because you've not won it again. You're the second best team in Europe, but that's not good enough. Do you know what I mean? But we had the squad there to do it. I mean, if you look at our squad, it was phenomenal, the players that we had. But we just couldn't quite get past that team. That probably will be, you know, as time goes on, will be said to be one of the best teams ever produced, that Barcelona team. And, you know, we were just a touch behind them, which is a shame, you know, because to get to that many finals in so many years is an achievement in itself.
Yeah, because you're looking at, what was it, 08, 2010 and 12, was it?
Like, yeah.
You know, to win one, as you said, you beat Barcelona in the semi-final.
Yeah.
You know, and then that team comes through those players grow and build and get better. And then, like, look, they dominated world football for the next 3 years. You even look at Spain winning the Euros in 2008, the World Cup, and then the Euros again.
Yeah.
The big thing is always, which we'll get into, is there's always this debate of which is the best Premier League team. Now, this Liverpool team, obviously, were so dominant last year. But first and foremost, I'll start with you. The 99 treble winning team, or the 2008, you know, double winning team?
I will. See, if you ask the younger generation, they'll always go 08. But believe me, to win that treble, it's different material. It's different league to actually do it. You know, it's nearly been done by a few clubs, but you just can't quite get there. In 08, we got beat in a semi-final. Semi-final against Portsmouth. Now, we battered Portsmouth and we should have won the game, but we didn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, there's all sort of things that come into that, a bit of luck, you know, a bit of, I don't know, maybe something from the referee. You get a decision that wasn't yours or whatever. But, you know, for the 99, especially back then in the league, you still had 5 subs. Champions League, you had 7, you know. The strikers, I look at the 4 strikers we had, the midfield, the defence, you know, you can't beat it. I mean, I was there, remember it. It's very hard for me to go anywhere else. You know what I mean? And I mean, I had this discussion once before when we put all the, you know, the unbelievable teams in, like the Vincent Bulls, Mourinho's, I think the first one. Obviously, Liverpool weren't there yet because they...
Man City.
The Man City team. And you know what? There was a player from every club, and they all said the 99 treble season, because on paper it's I'm not saying it's easy, but it's there, it's doable. But obviously being involved and looking at it, I mean, it's going to be hard to repeat, I'm not going to lie. And I know other teams do it in other leagues, but this, we're talking about the Premier League.
No, it's definitely, like, there's a reason why it's only been done once.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you look at Man City have dominated the Premier League until obviously Liverpool, but they've never been successful in Europe. Then you look at Liverpool, who've always done well in the Champions League. Albeit you can say last year they were unlucky to lose, you know, the Premier League title by a point, but they still haven't won the FA Cup. And it's always a big thing, and I kind of agree with you that the younger generation who remember the 0-8 team, but like the 99 team, as you said, the 4 strikers of Cole, Sheringham, York, who am I missing? Solskjaer. Like, then you have the midfield of Keane, Scholes and Butt. You've got Giggs, Beckham, Blomqvist. There's just, you know, and then you go into the back 4. It's just such an incredible team. And I think people are drawn to 08, you know, for you know, the Tevez, Rooney, and of course Ronaldo.
Yeah,
it's a big toss-up, but you're one of, like I said, 3 people. There's you, Giggsy, and Scholes have played all the way through. And I would value your opinion more. Like, of course, if you ask Rooney, he'll probably say 08. Or if you ask Nicky Butt, he'll say 99. You know, because they played, they were those teams. But you played in both.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm telling the truth. And obviously, I didn't play in the 99 final. I was sub. But being there, I remember how stressing it was, once we win that semi-final, which was, again, one of the best games I've ever watched against Arsenal, when Giggsy scores that famous goal. It was probably the most nerve-wracking thing that I've ever watched. But then once it happens, and listen, in that final, you can ask anyone, we could have been 2-0 down easily. And if they hit the post, it comes back into Schmeichel's hand, crossbar. And then, you know, something special happens at the end, and that feeling I've never felt ever again, Milo, ever, don't matter what I've won. It's just not the same, and I'm gutted because I got that too early.
I know, the bar was set so high with the treble winning season.
Yeah, so high. But like I said, for anyone to even speak about teams like that, they all have to have won the same things, and at the moment, that's not happened.
Wes Brown there in conversation with his former Sunderland teammate David Myler. We'll have more from the two lads after these.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. More confident than United before a Europa League final. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
Welcome back to Tuesday's football show and back to David Myler's conversation with Wes Brown. We pick things up here as David asked Wes about his assessment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's job as Manchester United manager so far.
Yeah, well, I think it's all it's to see, really. I mean, he started off very well and then it was a big dip, wasn't there? Big dip where, you know, we just couldn't get any wins. The players didn't look as fit as maybe they should have been. And then we started last season. And yeah, at the beginning, you're thinking, yeah, are we going to get in top four? And you know what? Not many people would have said, yeah, I think they're not going to do it. So, and again, there was games last season where you can see that you need players, I think. But listen, he will know that a few players stepped up as well. You know, he's brought some young lads in, obviously Mason and Brandon. But, you know, you could still say you needed players. And then obviously you get Bruno in. You know, just before we brought Bruno in, there was a little dip. We'd win a game, then we'd lose or we'd draw. And, you know, and you can see this, you know, the aim was to get into top four. You know, it was Leicester's aim, it was Chelsea's aim, obviously Arsenal's aim, Tottenham's as well. And Sheffield United were there for, you know, a good period of time as well, just, you know, battling it out. But, you know, he got the lads going and eventually we got there. I think he brought Bruno, I don't think anyone expected the impact he would bring to the team, if I'm being quite honest. And I mean, all around the Premier League, he just sort of lifted everyone. And eventually we got into that top four. But I think, you know, the signings he has done, I think they've been good. I don't think you can really question them. You know, Dan James, I didn't think Dan James would play as much at all anyway. You know, coming from Swansea, Maguire would play, Wan-Bissaka would play. And there's been times, you know, when they have made mistakes, and I always say to people, you know, should they be making mistakes? Well, yeah, everyone makes a mistake. You don't want to be known as a player or a team that keep making mistakes, but it's going to happen at some point. But ultimately, they've been pretty solid, you know. I think the partnership and the defence, they've got on well. The front three have been firing. I think the problem is when one of them's not in, you know, Martial, Rashford, Mason. I think when one's taken out, the system has to change a little bit. And I think that's where we've probably not got the personnel to sort of fill it in. But, you know, we've brought Donny now and we'll see where he fits in. But hopefully we get some more signings because we need a bigger squad.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to touch on your player of the season for Man United last year was, in fact, Tony Martial.
Yeah.
Do you think he can hit the heights again and almost not regain his form, but keep that level of consistency going? You know, because, look, we've seen glimpses over the last few years. If you look back to his debut against Liverpool, when he carved Skirtle inside out, that I think that's what Manchester United fans are desperate for, him to hit that consistency on a regular basis. Do you think he can do it?
I mean, I don't know. I hope so. Because that's the big question now. I would have thought if Rashford wouldn't have got injured, I think I said Rashford probably might have got it for me because near the end he was up there. But, you know, Martial, he stepped up a level. You know, he stepped up to that level. Everyone's seen glimpses of every now and again. And he was doing it every game. He's smiling. He's getting that play. You could see defenders being a bit wary now because of dropping off when he's running at him, but he's putting the ball in the back of the net. Big difference from probably a year ago. And he's doing it with consistency.
Do you think that, like, look, we all knew that Bruno Fernandes was a good player. You know, if anyone had watched any, you know, Europa League or international football, you'd have seen that. But him signing in January transformed that club in the sense that when he came in, he just elevated everyone, that they went on levels and he took on kind of a hidden role as a leader. You know, I think he's one of those that demands like top level, but he's the one who's setting the bar himself. And do you think his impact from January onwards was huge?
100%, mate. It was, it was weird because obviously we knew that he was a good player. But there's a lot of good players that come Man United and they don't, you know, give you that top level for a good few months, you know, just the impact of, you know, really big club, the expectation. And then this guy just comes in and goes, psh, his focus, it was unbelievable. All right, you know what, this, it's like he was saying to himself, this game, I'm going to do this one on my own, because just to let everyone know that they need to be on this level, you know, he was doing really good things. And I think the other players have looked at it, and you know what it's like. If you play with good players, you play better. Yeah. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, if you play with good players, the best will come out of you. I know players that have been on, you know, not so good teams, and I'm thinking, and I know he's better than this, but, you know, mentally he's gone a little bit, and he needs a bit of help just to lift him up. His confidence has gone. But, you know, when someone comes in and brings this confidence, and then you're like saying to yourself, okay, I like this. This is good. This is going well. Let's get on his page. You know, you would have seen it before, though, but it does happen.
Yeah.
He's sort of done that for Man United.
It's definitely, when they come in and they start training, they're training so well, you're kind of like, okay, now we understand why the club, you know, were desperate to sign this fella.
Yeah.
Well, while I'm talking about signing, do you think Manchester United will sign Jadon Sancho?
I hope so. I like him. And yeah, they probably are arguing over money. You know, whether it's with a situation that's happening all over the world or somewhere else, it probably will be that. But I just think the way Ollie's going with his signings, the young players he's bringing in, he fits in nice. He fits in perfect. You know, we have got three players that, you know, we had at the end of the season, with young Greenwood being one of them. But to bring him in as well, I think you're now looking at four players there where you can say, you know, any three of them could play at any point. You could probably move a couple into a different area. But I just think he's a young player. He's talented. He's got pace. He can score, assist. And he's a player that opponents would be scared of. And that's what you need in your team, in your squad.
Yeah, but it's also, like Mason Greenwood, phenomenal player, you know, phenomenal young player, I should say, really. But it's almost, if they were to bring him in, they could, like, use Greenwood the right way rather than just throwing him in at the deep end and saying, away you go, and just play, you know, obviously 38 games and, you know, whatever comes. And just, rather than, like, burning him out too early, kind of filter him in so that he then establishes himself. By the time he hits 21, he's, like, 100 games under his belt and he's ready to go.
Yeah, totally agreed. I mean, when he first come in, Mason, you know, he wasn't in quite a lot. He'd play, he'd come on for a bit and then go off. He would have never started, always come on maybe a bit longer. But the problem was he kept scoring. You know, he kept scoring when he was, which is good. Yeah. But and then eventually, I think it got to the point where you sort of have to play him because, you know, we still needed to win games. But he's such a young lad that you are right. I think it's, you know, at the beginning, the way Ollie was doing it, I think was perfect. And, you know, you don't want to tire him out. You don't want to, you know, especially early on in the season, drain him and put, you know, and put pressure on him in that way. You just want to bring him on, I don't know, 1-0, 2-0 up, 3-0 up, you know, let him do his thing. But like he has been doing. But yeah, I mean, to get that sort of third, I'm going to call them three strikers, the third, an extra strike on to help them three. It's some of that I think Ollie knows he needs.
Yeah. Now, we've got to talk about, you know, Liverpool, Man City, who've been dominating, you know, well, Liverpool last year, Man City for the few years before that. Obviously, you're grow up a Manchester United fan. You're a Manchester United legend. You've won so much of them. How do you feel seeing those two clubs at the top end of English football and not seeing your beloved United?
Yeah, it's different for me.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, you're talking about, well, we'll start with a City team first. I mean, you're talking about a fantastic team with quality, you know, and yes, they started from scratch and sort of and build the way up. But I mean, any footballer would understand that you see a good team when you see one. And first of all, the City team was that. And, you know, deserved everything that they got, really. I mean, they dominated for a good three, four years. you know, great players, and then obviously they did swap managers here and there, and now and then Pep came in, and we all knew what Pep was like from being at obviously Barca, Bayern Munich. We knew what he would sort of bring to that City team, change him again the way they play and sort of playing that sort of Barcelona style. And then the Liverpool team, listen, as soon as I know you buy Van Dijk and Mane, I'm thinking, oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Because they are quality players. And I think Liverpool have always missed that centre-half. You know, that dominant centre-half that, you know, it will only take a month or two for other teams to understand that this is not going to be an easy game. And I think, obviously, he's brought that. But Klopp's been fantastic with his signings. I mean, Robertson, Arnold, you know, two players that place really high up but obviously contribute to a lot of the goals that Liverpool score. And then you've got the front three. Firmino, who for me does a fantastic job in his position. You know, you can half say he's not bothered about the limelight. He will just play his role perfectly and let Salah and Mane, you know, do the individual stuff. And he's got a fantastic team there. Obviously, Jordan Henderson, you know, young lad that come from Sunderland, your mate. he's gone to. He's obviously gone there. He's worked hard. He's committed. Got the captaincy, you know, and been absolutely brilliant. So you listen, I will never hammer a good team because I've been in many. You know, I've been in probably three different squads that have won stuff. And I can see that, you know, them two teams that you just mentioned are definitely up there because not just by quality, but mental strength and the way they go about the games.
And to finish, Wes?
Why did you laugh when I said Jordan?
My mate. Because everyone just says that to me, goes, oh, he's your mate. No.
Yeah, but he's your mate, the winner. So what's the matter?
There's no problem. It's just I wasn't expecting you to go. You're mate.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. It's like when I say Shazy, I'll say, oh, it's Wes's mate.
Exactly. I wouldn't be up.
Yeah, no, I just didn't expect you to say it. But, Wes, to wrap up, who's winning the Premier League?
Oh, even being honest, it's got to be between Liverpool and City. For the simple fact that, you know, Liverpool will want to retain the title. You know, not lot of signing being done from Klopp. But I still feel like, even after watching that first game at the weekend, you know, tough game against Leeds. I thought Leeds were really good as well, by the way. But, you know, sometimes you can see the quality come out. And yes, they let three in. But when you've got players like that up front who can score goals, especially the way Salah can, they're always going to be in the hunt, and obviously that they will want to retain the title as well. I think Chelsea have spent a lot of money.
A lot of money,
and I'm expecting them to be brilliant, and I just don't know if that's going to work as well as, you know, as they think it is, because the expectation for them now is massive. I mean, they've spent to actually win the Premier League, and I don't know if that, you know, if they've got enough and so early on to do that. City will always be there. And United, again, if they sign players, they will challenge in different areas. But, I mean, it's for Liverpool to lose in the sense they were so good last year. The points tally that they won it by. But, you know, as long as they don't take the foot off the gas, because I've seen teams do that as well. When, you know, you've won a league and then you sort of ease off. You've anything, they've got to play even harder this year and work harder, because teams, you know, if they've stepped the foot off the gaff, teams will get goals here and there against them.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you your top four, but considering that you rattled off Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea and United, it's pretty
good. No, you forgot Arsenal.
Are you? I thought you were just going to dismiss them because they were the first four that came to your head.
I am going to. They are the first four. But Arsenal will. I don't know why. I just think Arsenal will do unexpected things this season for some reason.
Did you watch them against Fulham?
Yeah, I love Willian. You see, I love him. And against Fulham, listen, I've probably predicted Fulham to go straight back down. And I know that's bad, but for obvious reasons, you know, you have to stay in the Premier League, you have to get really lucky or spend. And I just can't see how Fulham, especially after watching that as well, are going to get goals and, you know, not concede against some of the talent that's in the Premier League.
Yeah. You see, like, I know you're talking there about, you know, Fulham, you know, you need to spend, but on the flip side, that 2 years ago, they spent whatever it was, 100 plus million and went exactly. straight back down. So it just shows you, it shows you how difficult it is to not only buy the right players, but they've got to have the right, you know, characteristics, good personalities, buy into what the team, the club is about. It's just so difficult.
It is difficult, Ryder. And like you just said, it is about the right balance. You know, you could buy a player and it could be an absolute idiot, if you know what I mean. Yeah, but it can happen though, can't it? It can happen.
Yeah, 100%.
You've seen it, I've seen it. You can buy, it just doesn't fit in at all, being a nuisance, disrupting everything. And that's, you know, so I can completely understand what you're saying.
Well, Wes, I'd like to thank you for today. It's great to talk to you. Great to see you. Look after yourself and we'll keep in touch.
And you, pal. See you later, mate.
See you later, buddy.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.